Welcome to Paradigm Shifters, and our paradigm shifter is going to shift your mind today. And actually, it's only a matter of choice to shift your mind. I think you've got some really good healing work in this particular book, Rico Rakowski. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's an honor and a privilege. Thank you so much.
And I have to laugh because this book says that you can, and we know this is true, but I'm saying this book is very well written and it's got such succinct ways of making choices. And in the book, you're saying, in every moment, we can make a choice. So I'm laughing. I thought, I'm going to be talking to Rico very shortly, and I'm having awful technology problems. So I'd like him to use me as an example of how to shift and make choices that come from your book, Just Two Choices, because it's your life. So now when I meet you in person, you say you're having technical problems too. So let's talk about it.
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind because of having the technical problems, and I'd like to, you know, let everybody know right up front, I'm not separate from my Just Two Choices. Now, even though I put this book together, I'm always living it. I have three techniques that I use every day. In fact, I just used one of them now to solve the same challenge we had, technical challenge that we had. And so this one technique that I use to raise, of the three that I use in this particular case, to raise my awareness of the challenge that we've had to deal with here with the technology has been, I choose to tell my new story.
Oh, okay.
And so I always start the sentence with the very simple one is just, I choose to. And I'll talk more about that later. But when I get into something where it's an area that I don't have as much experience in, and it gets to be complicated or sometimes frustrating, like what we've talked about earlier with our technical issues, then I'll use a phrase like, I choose to tell my new story. I choose to not tell my new story that even though I don't know the reason for the technology gap or whatever's happened, that it's going to work out just well. It's going to work out fabulously well. And so for me, what that helps me to do is to shift my vibration, shift my feelings by conscious choice to say, okay, all's going to be well. And so instead of buying into the fear and you know, which we've been conditioned to, you know, by habit, to buy into the worst case situations, then I'm teaching myself to buy into or to create actually the whole new habit of saying my new story is of the whole new habit of taking these challenges head on. And feeling within my heart, within my being, by saying I choose to feel that there's going to be a positive outcome. And we did have a very blessed positive outcome, and it works. So that was my example
tied to
this situation with you.
Yeah, and also, you know, can I throw another thing in? And I know you've got different kinds of exercises to do in here, but one of the things that I like to do is, okay, universe, show me what the advantage is of having gone through this.
Yeah.
And that's not exactly what you're teaching, but it's a similar kind of thing. And I want to know who you are and how you got to this, because this is a really, really handy. It's kind of like a workbook. It's really handy.
Yeah. Well, the story behind it is really, I grew up, I loved art and I loved aviation when I was a kid, you know, jumping out of trees, jumping off roofs, you know, into snow.
You were raised in Colorado?
No, I was raised in Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And plenty of snow back then. And so when I went through high school, I worked really, really hard in school for my grades, and math and science were challenges to me. But I just felt like I wanted to pursue either art or aviation. And I applied to two different schools. One was an aviation school and one was an art school. And I applied to the Air Force Academy, and I got turned down. And so my backup plan was to go into art. And at the last minute, meaning that I had 2 hours to drive to Pittsburgh in that one afternoon, and I had to sign in that day, they gave me an opportunity to go to the Air Force Academy Preparatory School if I signed up that day. Evidently, they had somebody drop out, you know, of one of the slots, and I was the next one in line. And my mom came and got me where I was working up in the mountains and said, we got 2 hours to get to Pittsburgh if you want to go to the Air Force Academy prep school. And so that started me down my aviation path. And where the aviation and the art combine is that both of those careers are visual careers. You know, aviation, you have instruments that you look at, no words, a couple of numbers, and you know exactly the performance of the jet at any moment in time. And then combined with my interest in art, because I'm a visual person, I brought all of that together. When I was able to make my dream come true, becoming a pilot, I thought, well, maybe there's some other kids who are working hard in school like I am, and you know, there aren't a lot of slots or availabilities for them to go after their dreams and goals. They just have to stick with it. And so I started sharing some of these concepts with high school kids, and it very quickly turned into sharing with elementary school kids. And with the elementary school kids is where it all fell into place, because you can't use a lot of words, as you know, up in the screen. They're visual. And so I created this Just Two Choices diagrams, these kinds of things to show the kids about every choice they make is going to take them either closer to what they want or further away from what they want. And then that evolved into, well, never thought about writing a book, but I guess I ought to put it into a book. So it's just one thing led to the other, but it's all based on the visual. And I have to thank the kids for the fourth graders, the third through fifth graders, you know, in the elementary school level, because for 15 years, I kept saying, you know, kids, there are just two choices of action here. Either one's going to take you close to what you want or further away from what you want. You know, what you going to do? Just two choices. And finally, the light turned on. I went, wait a minute, there's an idea for some grown-ups. You know, that I could perhaps turn that into.
And do you have your own kids? About.
I had a fiance who had two kids, mine. But I'll tell you what, the parts of that book, I'll be very candid. When she changed her mind on the relationship, it was a challenging time for me. And there's artwork in that book in terms of that emotional vibrational color scale, the arc one, that I actually created for myself to help me move through the, you know, the loss in the relationship.
That's the EVCS?
Yeah, emotional vibrational color scale is a color scale I use in the book to help people to make their choices about how they feel, what their feelings are.
How did you learn about that color scale?
Well, it actually goes back quite a while. If you're familiar with Jerry and Esther Hicks and Abraham Material, and a good friend of theirs, Linda Faluca, Dr. Linda Faluca out of Chicago, does individual counseling sessions. And so in the 90s, I was reading about listening to Jerry and Esther's material, and I thought, boy, this makes a lot of, there's meaning here, but I was just having trouble getting it. Now I know that probably my vibration wasn't high enough to, you know, to resonate with it. And then a few years later, I met Dr. Linda Faluca, and who's been working and is friends with Jerry and Esther, well, Esther now, and she would help me to close the gap, as Abraham talks about, you know, the vibrational gap. And she helped me to close the gap to understand the concept more. And as a visual person, just I kind of fell back to working with the elementary school kids, you know, for myself. If I could just give myself a tool, some kind of tool where I could remember how to apply the vibrational information on a regular basis in my day-to-day life, it would help me to tweak my vibration, to tune up my vibration by choice. And that's what evolved into the emotional vibrational color scale. I wanted to align the scale with actual scientific evidence. And scientific evidence is the violet colors are the, you know, higher frequencies. So those are on the scale as love and appreciation and bliss at the higher end of the scale. And as you move down through the rainbow colors, blue, green, and then move into the yellow, oranges, and reds, those are other words down at the lower end of the scale, and the yellow, oranges, and reds, which are pessimism and frustration and anger and jealousy and revenge and grief and all those kinds. So I made this scale for myself to help me to understand and wrap my mind around the Abraham teachings, which, if I add one last thing, Veronica, is that the original idea came from the book Illusions by Richard Bach.
Oh, great. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you might be familiar with he in his preface, on the third page of the preface, he has the word, I believe that you're reading this book that we magnetize into our lives, people and situations. And I believe that that's why you're reading this book. And I remember underlining that word magnetize before I'd ever met, you know, became familiar with Jerry Nestor's material. And I went, you know, there's something to this. I don't know what it is, but there's something to this magnetize idea. And little did I know that it would evolve through, you know, Jerry Nestor's material, which I appreciate so gratefully. And with Linda Faluca's help and Ken Carey's works evolve into this Just Two Choices. And the kids, of course, you know, evolve into the Just Two Choices stuff. So,
and
you.
How do kids do with it? I mean, that's a good story, actually. How do kids do with it when you start them early?
With choice, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, they do really well with it. You know, that's interesting you say that, because I'm glad you asked the question, because what's interesting is kids don't put anything on it. When you say to them, hey, look, they're just two choices. And let me digress a moment. The book that came before Just Two Choices was called a formula called Dreams Plus Action Equals Reality.
Okay.
And so that is what I would put up on the overhead projector in all the schools. And I spoke at schools, inner city, suburbs, rural, on Native American reservations, on the Native American nations, like with the Sioux and the Navajo, Cherokee. And so what's fascinating is that kids in that elementary school level like this, they're all tapping into the same database of knowledge. And when you present something in a visual format, the word dreams, mm-hmm. and then I have the plus sign, the word action, and then they get the word reality, which I was surprised about. And that's what kind of shocked me. The elementary school teachers told me, oh, no, they'll get it. And sure enough, they did. My point being, I used to make lines underneath the action point. And I'd say, okay, I'd have kids come up to the front of the room. And I'd say, tell me what your dream is. And if you make it a safe environment, they'll tell you, you know, I want to be a genetic engineer. I've had that one come up in all those areas that I just described where the kids
wow.
are. I want to be a genetic engineer. Well, let's list the positive actions it takes under the action portion of the formula to become, you know, to get into genetic engineering. And we'd team brainstorm all of this together. And when you make it a safe environment, the kids go, okay, let's make it happen. But it's interesting, the adults are the ones who put the qualifiers on there. Well, I don't have enough money to go to school. You know, well, look where you're growing up. You know, your brother or your sister went off to do this. They're the ones who put the qualifiers on. But the elementary school kids, they see it as dreams, action, reality. They see it as just two choices. Yep, either choice, the choice you're going to take of actions can take you close to what you want or further away from what you want. So it's really joyful to work with the kids across the board and just have them open up and tell you what their dreams and goals are and see how excited they are about pursuing those things. And I looked at it as kind of an insurance policy that later on in life when they meet negative peer pressure or pressure from, you know, from grownups who are saying you can't do that, that they can still hold on to their dreams plus action equals reality formula. And I've had some feedback from some kids now who still remember the formula. So that's been kind of fun.
Did you ever have negative reinforcement when you were a kid from your parents?
I grew up in an alcoholic family. I guess that kind of covers it.
Yeah, that kind of covers it. Well, no, that's a really important thing, because I think most of the people listening to Paradigm Shifters like to hear people climbing out of the rocks, over the rocks or whatever they are, you know, out of the murk or into the light of self.
And into the light,
We all need to know it's a hero's journey. Am I right?
Right. And along those lines, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I do have members of my family who don't want me to talk just two choices because they tell me, well, this is what mom and dad did. This is what happened growing up. I said, yeah, I know that's what happened. But, you know, they're just two choices in every moment. The only moment we have is now. And the choice I make right now connects with the choice I make next and next and next. It's a seamless sequence, and that's what creates your reality. That's what creates your life. So as long as you give your attention to what you don't want, as long as you use your just two choices to allow the energy to flow toward what you don't want, to flow toward your old story of being an alcoholic family, and this is what mom did, and this is what dad did, I'm depleting my energy. I'm not able to use my energy toward flying F-16s, toward flying to the airlines, toward living my dream of being a pilot, toward writing four books. How do you use your just two choices in every moment? And what I shared with you those details only because this particular person that's in the family to this day still doesn't want to talk just two choices. And because they're using their just two choices to continue to energize exactly what you said. You know, and you know, it's fascinating that we are so free to choose. We can choose bondage, and that family person is choosing bondage instead of choosing freedom.
I think that's a very good way to put it. Somebody said recently a little line I kind of overheard. I always say there's a prophet in the garbage can. You don't always know where it came from. But they said, we're incarcerated by our belief. And I thought, yeah, that's a good line, because it's kind of overdramatic, but that kind of poignantly puts it. And what you're saying is those beliefs can be destructured, right?
Right. And what's interesting, I find, about just two choices in the process, you know, we're focusing mechanisms. Something is because something is always making the choice to focus for it to be that way.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the universe. It's the entire universe. The universe is in this symphony of choice that goes on continuously in every moment. Trees are trees, and metals are metals, and you know, there's no six. There's carbon has six electrons. There's no 6.5 electrons. You know, the next one up's nitrogen, and the next one below that's boron. You know, there's nothing in between. It has to. We're a focusing mechanism, and we do that by the power of choice. But we've been hypnotized into believing, because we don't use the word choice that much in our language, to believe that we don't have that power. And so that's what Just Do Choice is about. It's about reclaiming the power. You know, Luke asked Yoda one time. He says, "Is the dark side stronger?" You might recall this line. And Yoda says, "No, it's quicker, easier, more seductive." It's quicker, easier, more seductive to make continuously to use your Just Two Choices to tell the same old story. It's easy to tell the same old story about being victimized. It's easy to tell the same old story about what mom and dad did. It's easy to tell this. It takes more effort, yes, to make your choice a new and better choice, to say, "I choose to tell my new story of." But the bottom line is that choice, life is powered by choice at the speed of choice, and you can't escape making choices, because not making a choice is still a choice. And so you might as well use your Just Two Choices in every moment to energize living, as opposed to living less than.
Okay, so let me play the devil's advocate for just a minute. I've often wondered about, for example, folks, somebody was an alcoholic and you felt suppressed or whatever. You know, I'm making it up right now. I'm not talking just your story. But I'm going, sometimes I've met people who, and I know one right now is 86, and she's a wonderful soul, but she has a lot of body pain. And actually what she's got logged into her body are old feelings and old frustrations. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of trying to tease them out of her right now, and it helps a lot. Her body pain shifts, and I'm going, but that's sublimating of what we feel. You don't recommend that, do you, where you could actually just dump it somewhere inside of your psyche and not deal with some of the things that have gone on?
Well, you know, a part of the I'd love to explore that some more from this point of view too. When you energize something, notice that it's like a switch. Mm-hmm. You know, it completes a circuit, and when the energy flows. So step by step for this particular person you're talking about, first thing I say is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink.
Right,
Just Two Choices. Okay, so we keep leading this person to the water, to the light, and they're not drinking. Well, finally, even if we get them to drink a little bit of the light, so to speak, and then the next step is to drink a little bit of the light, that's less energy that's flowing to the dark. Let's use it is that okay if I use that example that way?
Oh, of course it is, yeah. The only thing is I don't think she's resisting. I think she just was trying to be happy and nice no matter what. And I think she's had to pull a few things out of her satchel.
Out of her satchel. Well said. And so as we start to move into giving our attention to what we want, and it's just, you know, we created the dark side by choice, and we're going to create the light side by choice. Choice by choice by choice. And I've had people say to me, "Well, Rico, that sounds kind of Pollyanna. That sounds kind of bold BS." And I say, "Well, what's your other choice? Must I be having the same conversation 2 weeks from now, and a month from now, and six months from now?"
Because I see what you mean. No, you don't want.
Yeah, and Einstein says it really well. You know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different result. So,
that's a good line.
Einsteinian. You know, he's saying just two choices. If you want a different result, dude, you got to make a different choice to modernize it a little bit. And so that's in my work, that's what I try to do and you don't either. I mean, you don't put a weight on the quality on the choice. You just need to get them started. You know, okay, one choice, it might just be 1 in 10 or 1 in 50 that's a positive choice, but then it's going to be 2 and then it's going to be 3. Mm-hmm. And then, as you know, like Yoda says, it's just quicker and easier, because those habits, and everything in life is a habit, those negative habits are quicker and easier because they're habits.
Right.
And now we're trying to create the positive habit. And going back to as I understood the question, in the question, I look at it as, when I give my attention to what I want, and I think this is how it tied to Abraham too, when you give your attention to what you want, you're not energizing what you don't want. So it goes away, But what I found in my life that I find really exciting, Veronica, is that when I've been searching for, gee, I wonder where that needle in the haystack is where my life went awry, I spend all the time searching. But when I put my attention on what I want, the needle in the haystack pops up and says, oh, here I am. You're looking for me, you know? And it appears as a result of going after what you want. And then you're able to look back and in Abraham language, compare the contrast between where you are now in the higher vibe and what the denser vibe was, and goes, oh, I can now recognize I was spending time with that person, or I was spending, my vibration was aligned with this thought. And then that reinforces the positive choices you're making. Is that kind of along the lines of what you're asking?
No. I think you're doing really well with it. Now you've made me think about five different things. I'm going, So when we had that technical problem at the beginning, you and I literally had that. I think that your choice book in my hand helped me remember that I don't want to deal with technology. So the choice I made was, I'm going to, period. Stop doing that because you're going to do it, right? And that takes a whole pressure off right there. So I started I started to pick it out. And I started making it a little bit funny. First I was like, oh my God.
Well, I was going the same. Even though I left you that message a little bit earlier, just let you know that, you know, the thing was still on. And I stopped 10 minutes and I'm going, I'm messing with this thing for like 10 minutes. You know, and I look down, it's 59 past the hour. I'm like, but it was still part of, you know, it was still part of that just two choices consciousness. And I'll tell you what, for me, it doesn't make life boring. This makes life more fun. If you think of it as a spiral, and if you go like to page 93, if you have the book there.
I have it right here. 93. Okay.
Should have a color, full color spiral.
I love spirals. Page. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it had, so that's the third type of EVCS, or emotional vibrational color scale. There's a straight vertical one, there's an arced one, and then there's this one here, the spiral. And what's cool about starting to reclaim our choices, I guess I'll have to use another Star Wars quote, you can feel the choice flowing through you, as opposed to the word force. Mm-hmm. You can feel the choice, it flows through you, it flows through your crown chakra, it flows through your heart. And can't you feel it? You're like,
I can feel it.
Yeah, and you're moving up into that expansive part, the upper part of the spiral, where there's solutions. You know, the frustration, the anger, you know, the whatever other difficulty, pessimism, it's all down there in the tighter part of the spiral at the bottom. But as we move up into the higher vibrations, you know, up into the what I call the greens, blues, and yellows, because of the emotional vibrational, everything's expansive. And the better it gets, because you keep making choices that are better and better choices. You know, that's the thing sometimes people ask. They say, well, how does just two choices tell you how to make the right choice? I said, it tells you how to make new and better choices. If I knew how to make the right choice, I would be psychic. I'd be psychic and I wouldn't be here. You know, I'd be doing something else. That's called psychic. Mm-hmm. But it's about the new and better choices and feeling exactly what you said, feeling those new and better choices and feeling how they support your energy field.
Well, I think it's really interesting going back to the thing about saying, well, I don't want to learn. I don't want to do this. Well, guess what? I'm going to do this. Now I want to do this. There's a whole weight inside of me that shifts. Even if I'm not still not good at it and I'm plundering things, there's a weight. With what you're talking about, there's a whole light in me that starts to happen, even if I'm not good at it.
And see, that's the other thing that I find exciting about what we're going into, what I call the choice revolution. We're about to step into the choice revolution, where people are aware of the power of choice. Right now, we're under the language, the previous language that was, and this is all meant very, very respectfully, you know, of Napoleon Hill, Dale Carnegie, Norman Vincent Peale, you know, those guys really, you know, started teaching the positive thought movement and helping enormous shifts to take place for, you know, millions and millions of people since the 1930s.
Right.
And, you know, Norman Vincent Peale, when Power Positive Thinking came out, I think it was 1951, the psychiatrist that was his partner had to distance himself because that was too radical back then. So the power of positive thinking was take positive action, you know, get motivated. And the thing that we hadn't evolved to yet was choice. There's a gap there when you say, take positive action. And you kind of go like, okay. Get motivated. Well, I guess I could go to Hawaii and walk across 20 feet of hot coals. You know? but now, because of the great things that have been done by Tony Robbins and all those great workers of the energy and writing these great books, you know, we're able to now be in the choice era, you know, where there are just two choices. And you don't have to, you say, I choose to take action. I choose to be motivated now.
Right.
I don't have to wait till 4 months from now to go to Hawaii to walk across a bed of coals. I know that it's just a choice, and that's the gap that's closed now with the understanding that I choose to do something. You own, you feel you own that vibration. I choose to be happy. I choose to be happy, like, right now.
Right now, right?
It doesn't happen.
But do you think it's a lot to do with the frequency changes going on the planet and then how contagious
yes.
that is from, like, Tony Robbins'
yes.
people to, Esther's people to, you know, it gets passed on, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm excited about the vibrations. It's like this. It's going to be some pretty great magical. I don't know what it is, but you're feeling it. And obviously you're talking about and sharing it. And I'm sure on your show, you've been sharing it for a long time. Something's about to pop. And part of this awakening that I feel is about to part for me is this idea of choice. It, because it's just been such a valuable and helpful to me to say it's just a choice. You know, are you afraid to speak in front of an audience of 5,000 people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, start to say to yourself, I choose to tell my new story of how I can speak in front of an audience of 5,000 people.
And is that what you're doing, Rico?
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I'm sending that vibration out, I guess, now as I said it. And I would look forward to doing something like that. My old me would think of all the fearful things. I'd be spending my just two choices, investing the energy in the downward movement of that visual of the just two choices diagram that would continue to reinforce why I couldn't or thought I couldn't, you know, do something like that. And now it's just a choice. And I have to remind myself that, you know,
mm-hmm.
What is it, 5,000, 10,000, who cares? It's just a choice. And it's not to diminish it as much as to help me to own the idea that every part of life is a choice. You know,
well, you take the mystique off it in a way, don't you? You make it
Yeah,
powerful.
Right. That's a great way of putting it. You're right. It is. It's taking the mystique off of it.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
I'm driving. Yeah. And those are the techniques I use. And I'll just run through them real quick. And then I can expand on them. I wake up and throughout the day, I practice raising my awareness about choice by saying, I choose to. I choose to look at this building next to me. I choose to look at that red color car. I choose to look at a tree. I choose to look at the coffee cup. I choose to. And just by saying that for a couple of minutes, you raise your awareness. Wow, I've got a lot of choice. You know, I choose to put my hand on the shower and to change the temperature just a little bit. That's a choice, right? Just two choices. You adjust it, and the temperature is either what you want or it isn't, right?
Right.
And if it isn't what you want, you adjust it one more time, which is just two choices. And, you know, you make it hotter or colder. And so it raises my awareness of choice. And then when I run in throughout the day, if I run into a challenging situation like we did with the technology today, mm-hmm. that's when I choose to tell my new story. My old story was getting frustrated. My old story was getting upset. My old story was having a meltdown with, a couple of less than nice words, you know, with the technology. And now it's like, all right, Rico, I choose to tell my new story. You know what? I'm sure my heart rate, you know, is a whole lot, my blood pressure is a whole lot better by that alone. And then the third thing I practice throughout the day, just again, just time to time, I choose to appreciate.
We
have
nice.
So many things to be, but use the phrase I choose to begin all those sentences, because that's what it's about, because now we own the choice.
Well, you know, because it puts it in your hands, doesn't it?
Yeah, and which is where it's always been. You know, we were just unaware of it. For the centuries, we have just been unaware that, you know, like we talked about earlier, we're so powerful a being, we can even choose bondage.
Exactly.
We can choose to imprison ourselves.
Well, we can choose to give somebody around us a superior position, and then we are subservient, but we don't know any better because we think that's the way a good life is supposed to be.
Yes.
You know, I mean, maybe that's 100 years ago, but I think there's still people living like that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, and that was part, I'd say, was the evolution, if I heard you correctly, of giving away your power to authorities, you know, to authority figures. I mean, there's a time and a place for that teamwork to go on. But
hey, that's a wonderful word, teamwork. That's a lot different than power structure.
Yes. You know, and especially if everybody knows about choice and they're all choosing teamwork. That's a great thought. What else comes to mind on that?
I don't know. Are you still flying planes?
Am I still flying?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I sure am. Yeah.
I should think that I was just in my mind, I'm choosing to see you flying through the air and detaching from all these attachments that could keep you smaller. You see what I mean?
Well, I must say the view is quite spectacular.
So wow.
It does give you a more expansive view on life. Yet at the same time, you know, you're dealing with passengers and dealing with other crew members, and you know, you still get the chance to practice your just two choices, you know, with the human interactions throughout the day as well, which is why one of the other reasons why I really like the job too is that you get to meet so many people throughout the day and kind of get to practice my just two choices and vibrational kind of stuff.
What's the next book? Are you going to also, I have two things to ask you here. I have two choices. how did you get into the schools? I mean, is there any resistance to you? I think that's a brilliant thing.
How do I get into the schools?
To teach this. Over the top for some of them.
Well, actually, the Just Two Choices book is the adult one. The Dreams Plus Action Equals Reality that it emerged from was what I was in the schools with. And it was easy to get into the schools just talking, as long as, I mean, I never talked spiritual in the schools. I just called it goal setting, positive choice, which, you know, across the board just meets up with all the objectives, whether it's, you know, don't do drugs or, you know.
That's what I'm thinking is like the drugs thing. Like, wow, this is a really, it's a non-punitive and self-empowering style. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I did have a situation just recently where there is an educator who's interested in the Just Two Choices idea. So we're gonna collaborate more. But when it came to the goal setting thing, it was just a real straightforward Dreams Plus Action Equals Reality and the book and being able to speak, there wasn't any, you know, I'll say resistance from the schools at all. It's just a matter of finding the right time to fit in for different categories. You know, sometimes you go in and speak under career days. Other days you're going in and speaking under the category of drug-free, alcohol-free, you know, kinds of situations or better nutrition. You know, it's universal, but that you come in that are sometimes under different categories.
Are you in high school, or is it generally middle school or younger?
Well, up to this point, I mean, up until the Just Two Choices book, it was I stuck with elementary because it was just so, it's just such a great fit. Mm-hmm. And I think I felt better about reaching that group of people. And it's not that the other kids, I'm writing them off. It's just that I'd like to really try to help the kids at that earlier age to be able to embrace their dreams and goals and the choices that they make, because they're going to be stepping into, you know, the possibilities of some negative peer pressure in the future, and to hopefully give them an angle, you know, a sure footing, you know, in stepping into their life to still pursue their dreams and goals.
I think it's really exciting. So I think that probably, now, you shouldn't keep going back to kids, but you and I know that there is the crux of our childhood, that if we can get to that, right? So I'm going, let's talk about goal setting. Like, how have you used goal setting? Do you do long-term goal setting with them or even with yourself? Or is it all in the moment?
In the schools in particular, I help them identify their top 3 to 5 dreams and goals during the session, but they understand through the formula, the Dreams Plus Action Equals Reality formula, and the way the visual layout is, if people can imagine a, a formula, an actual formula where you have the word dreams and you have a plus sign, the word action, then an equal sign and the word reality. Under the action part, I would have a form that each kid would get. And after we did the goal setting, they, under the word dreams, they'd write down, say, their top dream of the three or five, their number one dream or goal. And then we would focus on just the action part, and we'd fill in the action part, and that would give them enough action for a whole year. I mean, for them to go after it. Now, everything from searching the internet to going to books in the library to talking to, you know, asking some friends who know somebody whose parents or relatives might be doing the career that they're interested in doing, you know, in medicine or
mentoring or apprenticing or interning.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was always the number one action, positive action to take, is to find a mentor, find somebody who's already doing what your dream or goal is, and then they're going to help you fill in, you know, this action sheet here, and then you just keep taking those actions. And
well, so I have to find the sheet now.
Well, you know, quick story is that I was working with high school kids one day in a small town in central Michigan, and farm town area, and it was and the high school kids I spoke to the day before, typical high school, you know, arms crossed, comments being made, you know, they'll come up and ask you questions later, but they're not going to step out in front of their friends necessarily.
And don't dare look enthusiastic.
Yeah, it's their age, you know. And so some elementary school teachers came up to me and they said, hey, would you come over and talk to the fourth and fifth graders tomorrow? I said, about what? They said, oh, about goal setting. Dreams plus action equals reality. Talk a little bit about aviation. And I said, boy, that seems a little abstract to me. And I kid you not, these two teachers, their eyes got big as saucers. They went, oh, no, they'll understand. And I said, okay, sure. So I went over and they put me in a gymnasium, which, you know, the acoustics can be a challenge.
Yeah.
And I'm standing there in front of, let's just say there are 100 kids, right? I said, introduced myself and, you know, what I was there for. And I said, do any of you have any dreams or goals you'd like to talk about? If there were 100 kids, there were 200 hands.
Oh, my God.
Kidding. Man, the day before, you're lucky to get two hands. You wouldn't even get any. You know,
And
so I will never forget this. I looked to my left, and I said to the top of the bleachers to the left, I said, what's your name? And she, could you stand up, please? She says, my name's Jill. I said, Jill, what do you want to be or do or have? She said, she didn't miss a beat. She goes, I want to be the team doctor for the Detroit Pistons.
Oh, good for her. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and the other shocker was that I'm in a rural community and I wasn't expecting this kind of a knowledge base. And so now I started to go through all the kids. What do you want to be or do? What do you want to be or do? What do you want to be? Man, the ideas are just popping. And that's when I said to myself, you know what? I missed the mark here. I'm not an educator by trade, but I need to rewrite this book, Dreams Plus Action Equals Reality, for elementary school kids, because this is where it's at. And you know, you make the environment safe, and those kids will tell you their heart of hearts, you know, for their dreams and goals. And then the visual format that I would give them, they would be able to carry it on, you know, later on. Some schools made dream books for the kids, and they would fill out the sheets as the school year progressed.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so that was – and it was inspiring for me. And then, like I said, after a while, you know, after many years of doing it, I got Just Two Choices out of it just by working with them all the time, saying, hey, kids, there's Just Two Choices. And so it's just been an exciting ride.
And I think in history, a lot of times amazing inventions and so on have been made by people who just did that, right? They didn't think about it a million times. They just did what it is they wanted to do. Like you've mentioned the Wright brothers here, and I was thinking of Edison, and I think of, you know, there's a lot of older characters like.
But they're and they're legends. Mother Teresa, you know, think about it spiritually. I find this humorous. What are the just two choices of being a Mother Teresa? What are the just two choices of being a saint? What are the just two choices of being a mystic or a Dalai Lama? What are the just two choices?
Well, it's kind of like the child.
Extraordinary choice.
Yeah, and like the person you were blown away by who wanted to be, what was it, the medical...
team doctor for the Detroit Pistons.
Exactly, yeah. And that just shocked you. But that's a big step in choice. And Mother Teresa did that, didn't she? And she didn't waver. She did waver a bit, but she didn't stop herself.
Yep, and see, and that's what happens with everybody's just two choices in every moment. it's the quality of our choices that creates the quality of our lives. We really shouldn't be surprised if our life isn't, you know, if our life isn't going well. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised when you know just, if you understand just your choices. It's like, obviously, I'm consistently making choices that are consistent with my life not working well. I need to, like Einstein says, you know, you got to make a different choice. And so when it comes to Mother Teresa or St. Francis or, you know, or Dalai Lama, they're just two choices. They continue to make the extraordinary and beyond extraordinary positive choices to continue to connect on a consistent basis, as opposed to using their other choice in the just two choices moment to water it down, or how you referred to it before, to waver, you know.
It's sort of interesting because while you're speaking about all that, I'm thinking about social pressure and wanting to fit in and all of that. And some of that is the most daunting experience that we can ever have when it comes to making a choice from your own, I'm thinking from your own heart, right?
Right, right. And as we continue to say, I choose to, mm-hmm. I hope that would be an insurance policy too, saying, well, I choose to allow the influence of others to pull me off my path.
Right. And you know, saying I choose to could probably knock some of the others' socks off too. People will pick up speed. If I say I choose to do this, some of the people will be more courageous about their own choices, will they not?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. And then as I think the other part too is that we own that choice within ourselves. You know, it's like, hey, this is my path, mm-hmm. and I can't blame it on somebody else, really, when I'm the one who's allowing, just going back to what you talked about in the very beginning of the show with regard to authority, you know, and how we've evolved from being more and more influenced by that kind of authority in the past as we've evolved.
Yeah.
Now it's down to, I call it reclaiming, because it's always been there. We've never not had choice. We just had the perception that we didn't have it.
But maybe the computer is partially responsible, because even small kids are getting in there and they have their own universe rather than some socially connected reality.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then there's the other point too of, you know, all the computer stuff we look at the software, it's a zero or a one. Mm-hmm. It's just two choices. It's binary. You string it together in a seamless sequence. You string it together in a seamless sequence. We're having this beautiful conversation right now on your show because of just two choices, either a zero or one, sequenced so seamlessly and at such lightning, mind-boggling speed that it seems like there's no interruption. Well, that's what life is.
Yeah,
it's a continuous, non-interrupted, just two choices in every moment, do this or do that, you know, navigate this or navigate that. And
well, you know, I used to teach school years and years ago. I didn't teach for long because mm-hmm. I'm a little bit of a renegade, but I remember looking at the kids, and I loved grade four. Fourth graders was a great era. But anyway, my whole thing was cheapers. The TV, all the funny people, everything's telling them what to think and what to do.
Right.
And so I thought, I'd like to be on the radio or on TV or something, not because I need to be famous. I'm not worried too much about that, but to actually say mm-hmm. stuff that might be true, or to bring out the power mm-hmm. of individuals instead of something that just slams them. And here we are, mm-hmm. right? Here we are. I made some choices, right?
Yeah. And you know, when expanding that thought for Veronica, you know, the person who asked the question, who is the media person asking the question, you know, on some network, that's just their choice.
Right.
When you think about it, you know, it might end up being the choice of a larger organization, but they're using the power of focus in that moment to ask that question that way. And they had just two choices. If it was an intimidating question, they didn't have to ask the question in an intimidating fashion. You know what I mean? It's this just two choices idea kind of, like you said, demystifies things. And in some ways, it kind of simplifies, because you go, you don't see eye to eye with me. Well, that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay with me. You know, and it's not to be a smart aleck. One guy said to me on an interview, he goes, Rico, what are you going to tell people who say, and he was serious, and this just two choices is just too simple? And I said, at the risk of this sounding like I'm being a wise guy, I'm going to say just do choices, because you can make life as simple or as complicated as you want using your just do choices. And I choose to make it, I choose not you personally to the host, but I meant all of us have that power to make our lives as simple or as complicated as we want by our just do choices in every moment. And which goes back to, are you going to create bondage or are you going to create that ever expanding, joyful interaction with what is around us and play, you know, what we're playing with in life. Wow. And people say, well, that's kind of Pollyanna. That's kind of BS. I go, well, that's your choice. That's not mine, you know, and it's worked well for me.
Well, it seems to be moving you very quickly through many phases in your life, and a lot of the people that you touch, and this book is doing that as well.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Yeah, it has, and like I said, you just have to smile when you think about the kids, you know. And that's the other thing. Sometimes if some adults get resisted, have been challenged by this just two choices thing, and I politely let them know that it evolved from fourth and fifth graders. So
isn't that great?
Know, yeah.
Who are out there doing YouTubes and everything else and have their own channels. Hello.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think the fourth and fifth graders seem to catch on to this pretty easily. So.
Oh, yeah. They don't have all the stuff. Because these days, they don't have all the stoppers, but you're helping them a lot. Listen, are you willing to say something about the election, or would you rather not get into that?
I would just rather not go. I enjoy the vibe. The vibe is really high right now. And if you don't mind, I prefer to choose to keep it in the high vibe.
This is a good choice.
Yeah. Well,
there's
a good example.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a good example. Yeah, here comes the vibe. You know, I'm loving being up at the top end of the spiral. We were talking about expansive possibilities, and I honor your question very much. Just in that alone is a great point that has to do with how quickly we can go from feeling expanded to feeling a little constricted. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I was learning about some of this stuff, I was doing some energy work, and I was driving down the interstate, and I saw a policeman, and I was speeding because I was late for the class.
Right.
And so I got real tight, and so I said to the teacher, I said, "What was it? What happened?" They said, "Your energy field, well, you were driving because it was a highway, you know, and there's a lot of beautiful greenery and stuff. Your energy field went from being this expansive energy field." In a nanosecond, went down to this fear. And he went, I said,
who
no,
told
right.
you that? It's your exact, guides? Or
the teacher. No, the teacher I was working with when I was taking some hands-on healing kind of energy classes. And it was a great explanation. It was exactly right. So here I was in this expansive state, and I saw something that was fearful, and I thought I was going to get pulled over, and my energy field just crushed and collapsed.
And it can happen in an instant if you don't. You monitored it.
Yes.
You moved it out, did you?
Oh well, after I got further away, I mean, this was years ago before I knew about just two choices. So now I'm a lot more aware of what happened there. But it was interesting to be able to go from that expanded state, and then for her to explain that it was to the constrictive state. Which is, when we think about it, which is what happens in life when we buy into some of these other relationships and stuff that are more intense, and we really don't want to be there, make those positive choices to tell the new story of how we're going to get new and better relationships.
So I think that's wonderful. So tell me this. So a policeman's going to chase you down. What would you do now? What choice would you make?
Well, my choices would be just to I'll be open to... I'll be open to the situation turning out just fine.
Yeah, me too.
That would be my first choice.
Just
yeah,
love him too. Love him, her. That's what
yes.
I like to do. Send
mm-hmm.
them a little love and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here. Yeah. You know, yeah. Can I, an interesting thing on a, I know your answer on this. So I ask these questions. I have a survey where I'm choice tracking consciousness
it,
which is what percentage of life do you think is choice and what percentage is circumstance? And I have some interesting perspectives, or would you like to answer the question and I'll put it in the database, or share some thoughts?
I think it's now you would put it in the database now, or we'd have to catch up with it later, because I'd love to get some answers now.
No, what I meant was I would just add it as one more, as another number but my point just being that I've had all different kind of answers, from people seeing life as 100% choice to people seeing it as 70-30 choice, you know, choice circumstance, to even 20% choice and 80% circumstance. And so it's been real interesting. Most people are in the 80, 90.
I would be
range.
Up in the mid-90s probably.
Yeah. And Rudy Rudiger from the movie Rudy answered the question this way. He said, well, considering that your circumstances, you got to your circumstances by your choices, and your circumstances are where you are, and you can't avoid making choices, then it's 100% choice.
Oh, now, that's interesting. Now,
and interesting. Well, of course, it comes down to awareness. And the more and more aware, then obviously the more and more that we'd be aware that our choices brought us to our circumstances. But he said 100% choice is how he described it through that description that I just gave there. So lots of interesting insights.
I think that's a very interesting discussion. That, to me, would be an interesting essay to be writing to myself and working it through. You know, it's got some intricacies, mm-hmm. doesn't it? I love what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I think it's just really exciting. What's next? Yeah. Are you going to give any work? Do you do workshops and speaking and all kinds of things?
Well, next is going to be Choice Revolution, the Choice Revolution webinar, which is going to expand on this. It'll be three like 45 minute to 50 minute classes, and that'll come out in January or February.
Okay.
After that, I'm going to do Vibrational Playground, which is, you know, every choice is also simultaneously and inseparably a choice of vibration. So now that people are aware of just two choices, now they can be aware that every choice you make is vibrational, which now comes back to the magnetized aspect we talked about with Richard Bach and Illusions, and of course with Jerry and Esther Hicks, you know, Abraham.
Right.
And then the third one's going to be Source of Vibration, which is going to be a really short book, because if you understand that vibration is inseparable from choice, then as you start to feel those high vibes, obviously the source of vibration is the source. I think it'll probably be like half a page
well,
in that
that's
book.
Okay.
Because so that's kind of what's on. If an interesting thing is that the original book came out in 2009 with a lot of emphasis on the vibrational aspect and less emphasis on the just two choices. And I've actually found over the past 5 years that people aren't as familiar with choice as I was learning from the elementary school kids. Adults aren't as familiar with choice as the kids were. And so I rewrote the book, and the book that you have now is the third edition, and it's mostly focusing on just two choices and then some mention of the vibrational stuff.
Well, and just to top off this wonderful conversation, is that because people are kind of victimized by circumstance, they think, is that until they catch on? Is that adults, you know, not kids so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, and just like we talked about through, you know, in different places in the show, they're different. You know, adults are always using their just two choices to try to wiggle out of their just two choices about why they can continue to tell their old story and why they should still be, you know, in that situation, as opposed to making a new and better choice.
Yeah, and I think that they probably could be relieved if they could really hear what you're saying. I mean, they'd be totally relieved because they would do something.
Right? You're very kind. Well, you're very kind, and they can download the first chapter and the welcome and get started, like, as soon as they download the book. I mean, just those first two sections, and start on their life, like, right now. They have just two choices. They can.
And also, they can download it. They go into just two as the number two, just two choices. It is your life.
.com. Yeah, justtwochoices.com with the number two. And then, if you just read everything we've been talking about in the welcome and in the chat in chapter one, you'll understand how to have extraordinary customer service. You'll understand how we landed on the moon using just two choices. You'll understand some stuff about Aristotle and how this choice idea really goes back to the Greek, to 350 BC. They're aware of it. It's just we're now just getting it to a broader audience, I guess. We're just waking up to it. So,
well, good for us. We're finally getting there, huh?
yeah, exactly.
Well, you're
and the better it gets, the better it gets. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Well, you're a delight, and you've also pushed me to make me realize. I'm pretty good about a lot of things, but right now I'm going, I really have the idea of some choices I could make right now.
Yeah, and for the audience, just start saying, I choose to. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, and you're going to say, Rico, this is goofy, and I tell you what, you do it for a day. If you were to do it throughout the day for the first day, you would be shocked at how much choice opportunities you're missing because you're making choices that perhaps aren't as energizing as you could make, you know, and then you'll just start to laugh, chuckle to yourself, go, wow, there's really a lot of space here for me to, when I learn about the power of my choices and reclaiming that, and just have fun with it.
So even just do it for a day as an experiment, everybody, but I really think it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
I really believe that it'll be a habit, hey?
Yep, exactly right. Well, and that's how we got to the dark side habits anyway. Mm-hmm. And that was one choice after another. It was 100, and then it was 1,000, and then it was, you know, so many, and here we are, locked into what we think, locked into, you know, a certain kind of thought, when it's nature's just using the natural mechanism that it had available to it, which is repetition creates the ability to automate something. So why not automate success? Why not automate success?
Evolution and invention. Oh my goodness, yes. So
automate that. Yeah.
Is your email also on this Just Two Choices website?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's put rico@justtwochoices.com if you'd like to email me, and I'd be honored to hear any feedback or anything you have.
Well, I thank you so Rico. Much for our time, Rico, because it's been very delightful, whether we have technology problems or not.
Well, it goes both ways. Thank you for inviting me, and thanks for keeping, you know, having such a high vibe discussion. It's just the better it gets, the better it gets. So thank you.
Thank you. And what you're bringing to the world is contagious. Thank you for that.
Well, we'll share our gifts together, and keep getting people to help people to wake up to, you know, to reclaiming their choice in a positive way. So thank you
Wonderful.
For your contributions to that too, dear.
Okay, thank you. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying thanks for listening to our paradigm shifter, Rico Rakowski. And you can be in touch with me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. Thank you for listening. Many blessings.